Good morning. We continue with our study of Chovos HaLevavos, Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh, and of course the learning this week in all of our shiurim in the shul are sponsored in memory of the Rebbetzin Shendel Feuerstein, and in memory of Mr. Lev Fuchsman, Alav HaShalom, Lev Ben Baruch, and of course the learning today should also serve L'Yilui Nishmasam, as lovingly dedicated by their wonderful families. Yesterday, the Chovos HaLevavos had left us off with an attempt to sort of make a cheshbon, to help us make a calculation right as we begin to daven. I neglected to mention yesterday a comment of Rav Matisyahu Salomon, who notes that, yes, as we learned in the Chovos HaLevavos, prayer, by definition, requires a certain degree of faith. He says, he quotes from the Mesilas Yesharim, who says that, you know, when we are sitting around and paying attention to davening, one of the hardest parts of davening is the understanding that we're standing in front of God. But he says it's not so crazy for us to understand that when we think of the concept of talking on the phone. For us to have an imaginary conversation holding a telephone receiver is one of the hardest things that people have to do, because it feels weird. I'm talking to a piece of plastic. The fact that I believe in it, and I believe in the conversation that goes along with it, is because I believe in the conversation on the other side. One wouldn't have a long-standing conversation with a piece of plastic if he knew that all the responses were made up. They were pre-recorded, like in the old Mickey Mouse phones. We wouldn't have a long time talking on those phones, because that would be impossible. There is faith because we know someone's listening on the other side. And that's an important concept when it comes to tefillah. Bringing that back to the words of the Chovos HaLevavos today, he says you have to understand the words of tefillah are really but the shell. And the depth, the fruit within the tefillah is the heart that goes along with it. If a person only utters words without the preparation, without the soul, without the heart in the tefillah, that's like a person offering a body without a soul. And that is certainly a difficulty. In fact, he goes one step further. It's the part that you throw out. It's a useless piece. It's worse than just having a body without a soul. It's like having the rind of the watermelon without the watermelon inside. And that certainly is a certain difficulty. He goes ahead and compares the situation to an individual who invites his boss over for a special dinner, who has his family all set up to make that terrific dinner. His kids are all washed up and serving the meal to the owner with the greatest of respect. But the fellow himself, the one who invited the boss, is nowhere to be seen. He went out to the bar. You can imagine how upset the owner is going to be, the worker, at his worker, for inviting him to his home and not thinking it important enough to show up himself. Says the Chovos HaLevavos, that's the same thing that happens when we utter lip service to God in the context of prayer, but we don't bother to be there within the prayer. Words without thought is basically the same thing as not being without the person. This, says the Chovos HaLevavos, is why at the end of our tefillah we declare before God, Yularatzonim Refi, that my words, the words of my mouth, should be accepted at Liratzon, but only together with Vegyonli Bilifanecha, with the thoughts in my head. So therefore, when a person is thinking about anything in the world, whether it's Mutter or Aser, and then adds Vegyonli Bilifanecha, that it's the thoughts in my heart. I'm davening to God about Rifla'inu, but I'm thinking about whether the injured players in the New York Jets will be able to play this week so my fantasy football team will be successful, then all of a sudden, I'm not involved in the concept of tefillah. That's an embarrassment. I am trying to focus on my involvement with God. And so therefore, we turn around and say to God, Yularatzonim Refi Vegyonli Bilifanecha. And since we know we are going to utter that phrase, perhaps it's a good idea to know what our Hagyon HaLev is already prior to approaching the tefillah. It takes but a moment, but it's able to be done. I recall, as a kid, learning from Rabbi Danny Frankel, who ran the Teen Minyan in Young Israel Woodmere, the executive director of the shul. He had us stop for a moment prior to Musaf to realize, not necessarily what we were going to say, but that we were about to speak to the Ribono Shel Olam. It changes the way that we approach
not only Imri Fi, but Egyon Lipi Lefanecha. Have a terrific day and a wonderful Shabbos.